Discovering Christ in Revelation. Chapter 31. Look what Christ has done. From Revelation chapter 14, verse 5, "And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." The Apostle Paul tells us that God's reason for saving us by His grace in Christ Jesus is that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Just as the rich man saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and knew the blessedness he enjoyed, so, by some means or other, those who are damned forever in hell will be able to see clearly the blessedness of God's elect in heaven. Those who despise God's grace will be tormented forever by the realization of what grace has done for God's elect. In Revelation 14, John sees the whole company of God's elect multitude, 144,000, gathered around the throne of God in glory. He describes them for us in verses 4 and 5. These are the characteristics of those men and women John saw around the throne of God. They describe all who are, or will be, the heirs of eternal life. It is as though the Apostle John, by inspiration, anticipates that glorious day when God will show to wondering worlds the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Here the Holy Spirit, by John's pen, holds up all the hosts of God's elect as they will be in glory and says, "Look what Christ has done." In heaven, everybody ascribes the whole work of salvation to the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. Nothing is said to the praise and honor of man, because no praise or honor is due to man. In these two verses, the Apostle John describes five distinct works of grace experienced and enjoyed by all who are found in heaven's glory and bliss around the throne. 1. They stand in God's presence as chaste virgins. 2. They are followers of the Lamb. 3. They are redeemed. 4. They are without guile. And 5. They are without fault before the throne of God. 1. They stand in God's presence as chaste virgins. Quote, "These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins." This description of the Lord's people reveals two things about the character of God's saints in heaven. 1. They were not defiled with women, and 2. They are virgins. These words do not speak of sexual purity or celibacy as opposed to impurity and marriage. John is describing the spiritual purity and chastity of God's elect. He is, in fact, telling us that all who enter heaven have been preserved by the grace of God from the damning corruptions of false religion. They have been preserved from defilement by the great whore and her daughters. While the people of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of Babylon's fornications, committing gross acts of idolatry, superstition, and will worship, God's elect are not. Idolatry is spiritual fornication, but God's elect are preserved from it by His grace. Though they were persecuted by the beast and surrounded by the delusions of the false prophet, though all others embraced the religion of Antichrist and persecuted those who did not, these men and women remained faithful to Christ. They were not turned away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Being preserved by the grace of God, they would not drink of the wine of free will, the liquor of works religion, or the champagne of ritualism. God's saints cannot and do not defile themselves with false religion. They are virgins. God has made them chaste, pure, undefiled in the sight of God. They are naturally as vile and corrupt as any other children of Adam. But God has, by His free grace, through the sin-atoning blood of Christ, removed all their sins and all the consequences of sin from them, so that in Christ he looks upon them as chaste virgins. God's church, all his saints, are compared to virgins for many reasons. First, they are betrothed and espoused to Christ as their husband by their own voluntary profession. Second, like chaste virgins, all believers love Christ and cleave only to him. And third, like virgins adorned for their wedding, God's saints are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And fourth, like virgins, they are chaste and pure in character, in doctrine, and in worship. Grace has made them so. Point number two, they are followers of the Lamb. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. It appears as if John saw in the glorified saints the character of God's people upon the earth. All Christ's sheep follow the Lamb wherever he goes. God's elect are not followers of men, but followers of Christ. They do not follow their feelings, but follow Christ. Hearing his voice, they follow him. They follow the example of his life as the rule of their lives. They do not live under the yoke of Moses, which is hard and rigorous, but under the yoke of Christ, which is easy and light. They follow Christ in all the duties, privileges, and responsibilities of worship. With willing hearts and eager spirits, those who are born of God follow their Savior in the worship of God. We cannot follow him perfectly, but with sincere hearts, we strive to worship God as he did while he lived on this earth as a man. Like their Redeemer, all God's saints live by faith, call upon God in prayer, and find their place in the house of worship. Like Christ, they seek to glorify God in all things, and like Christ, believers submit to the ordinances of God in public worship. In baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in songs of praise, in hearing the Word, in all matters of worship, those who know God worship in the Spirit. All who are born of God follow Christ, the Lamb of God, all the way to glory. Not one draws back to perdition. They all persevere to the end. Through water and through fire, through burning desert and freezing night, up the hill of difficulty and through the slough of despond, every believer follows Christ all the way home. We all went astray from the womb, speaking lies. All we, like sheep, wandered far, following our own wicked wills. But Christ bought us, Christ sought us, and caught us, and Christ will carry us home. Christ is the way. Christ put us in the way, and Christ will keep us in the way. Point number three, they are redeemed. All who are in heaven are there because they were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. These were redeemed, or bought, from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. They were bought by an act of special, particular, effectual redemption. The text does not say these were redeemed along with those who are in hell. Of course not. That would be blasphemy. The text says, quote, these were redeemed, that is, effectually bought, from among men. All who were redeemed are seen in heaven at last. None of those who are not with the Lamb in glory were bought by the blood of the Lamb at Calvary. Christ redeemed us by paying the price of our ransom from the hands of God's offended justice. And that ransom price was his own precious blood. His work of redemption effectually ransomed all for whom he died from the penalty of the law by the satisfaction of divine justice. And the ransom price was paid for a particular people. The matter of particular effectual redemption is not a minor point of strict doctrine. It is a major issue, vital to the faith of the gospel. Universal redemption denies the power and efficacy of Christ's blood. It is a doctrine that teaches that the Lord Jesus did not really accomplish anything by his death on the cross, but only made it possible for sinners to be redeemed, justified, and saved. Universal redemption makes the Son of God a failure, declaring that he tries to save all men, but in most cases fails. And it makes man his own Savior, declaring that it is each man's faith that makes the blood of Christ effectual for his own salvation. That is nothing short of blasphemy. John specifically tells us that this redeemed multitude in heaven was bought from among men because they are God's elect. Quote, those who were redeemed from among men, being, or because they were, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. There was a separation made. The first fruits were for the Lord. They were set apart from the rest. God chose the first fruits for himself. These 144,000 are not the first fruits as opposed to other believers, a group of special super saints. They are the first fruits redeemed from among men. In the Old Testament, Israel brought the first fruits to the Lord. That belonged to him. He had no interest in the rest. The Jews could do what they pleased with that. In this chapter, God's elect are the first fruits. They are redeemed. They are called. They are gathered around the throne. The rest are cast into the winepress of the wrath of God as useless things. That which is not redeemed must be destroyed. 4. They are without guile, and in their mouth was found no guile. Well, God's rich grace freely bestowed upon them in Christ has made them honest, sincere worshipers of God. They are not liars, deceivers, hypocrites. Among these saints was found no idolatry, superstition, false doctrine, or will worship. They did not speak lies in hypocrisy, following Antichrist, pretending to be what they were not. They were not given up with the reprobate to believe a lie. These words, no guile, declare the openness, sincerity, and truthfulness of God's saints. They are not pretentious deceivers. Like Nathanael, they are Israelites indeed. Christ has made them so. They draw near to God, not in word only, but in sincerity and truth, with believing hearts. And 5, they are without fault before the throne of God. In themselves, by nature, God's saints have many faults. They have nothing but faults, wrinkles, and blemishes. But, quote, they are without fault before the throne of God. Not so much as one fault or blemish is found upon even one of God's saints, not even by God. We were chosen in eternal election that we might be holy and without blame before him. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ so that all our guilt, sin, fault, and blame might be removed from us forever. And we shall be presented at last by the Lord Jesus Christ as trophies of God's almighty saving grace, holy, unblameable, unreprovable, and without fault before the presence of God's glory. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are among these first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. What Christ has done for them, he has done and will do for you. Be sure you give him the glory for the great things he has done.